John chapter 2. We'll springboard out of there, and then we're going to go right back to where we just sang, Ephesians chapter 4. I should have told you to hold your places there, but it's good. 1 John chapter number 2 this morning. Good to see everyone this morning. A little warm outside, but it's nice and cool and comfortable in here. How many are thankful for that? Amen. I'm thankful that we have a comfortable place to meet. All right, 1 John chapter 2, verse number 9. The Bible says, "He that saith, he is in the light, and hateth his," what's the next word, church? "Brother is in darkness even until now." Now, I don't think that's talking about your physical brother. I think that's talking about your spiritual brother. You say, how in the world is that possible to hate your spiritual brother? Well, if you've been in church very long, I'm sure you could think of somebody who's had some problems with their brother or sister in Christ. We're not going to go around and ask for stories, but I'm sure that on your mind right now, maybe you have even had some problems with an individual that is a born-again believer. And by the way, if you can't get along with them down here, you know heaven's going to be an awful boring place for you. Because guess what? If they're saved and you're saved, you both have the final destination of heaven. You might as well learn to get along with them down here, because, you know, eternity is an awful long time, isn't it, to spend time with somebody you don't like? Verse 10, "He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in," what's the next word? "Darkness, and walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes." I wonder this morning, are you walking in darkness or are you walking in the light? You know, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, the Bible says we have fellowship one with what? I wonder, have you ever found yourself out of fellowship with the brethren? Let's just all be honest and say, I have. Now, let me ask you the question. Is your first inkling whenever you find your fellowship broken with your brethren to say, well, if they wouldn't have... Church, are we honest? Amen. Absolutely. Because we don't want to look in the mirror and say, if you wouldn't have, what would happen if we were to be, like Paul said, dead to sin? You know, if there were a casket laying up here today, now this is not morbid, I'm not crazy, but I'm just trying to prove something to you, church. We're supposed to be dead to sin and alive unto Jesus Christ. And Paul said, I die daily. So if I have a man here in a casket and he's dead physically, right? If I were to just spit in his face, now would he respond to me? What's the answer? No. What if I were to say something bad about his family? Would he get upset? What if I were to slap him? You guys might get upset and a little offended, and some of you guys, well, you ain't ever preaching a funeral here again. But look, would he respond? So why is it that when other brethren and other sisters in Christ say things to us that we're supposed to be dead to sin, correct? And alive unto Jesus. Why is it that we respond in such a negative way that it turns into hatred and anger and bitterness and wrath? Dead men, they can't feel any pain. Did you know that if you're living the life you're supposed to be living, the Bible says, you know, blessed are they that love thy law and nothing shall offend them. Now I know things are going to upset you, but it should never get you to the point where you're just willing to live with hatred and anger and bitterness in your heart, especially towards a brother or sister in Christ. Think about that this morning. And ask yourself the question, are you walking in darkness or are you walking in the light? Good morning, Brother Greg. Good to see you, buddy. First of all, can I say you cannot walk in both? How many ever walked in darkness and light? Think about it now. You're either in the dark or you're in the light. If you're in the dark and a little bit of light comes up, you say, well, it might be a little dark in here, but there's still light, right? So you can't walk in both. The Bible says a double-minded man is unstable in what? All of his ways. How do you feel towards your brothers and sisters in Christ? Do you love them? Here's a good one. Do you tolerate them? Hey, I've been there. I'll be honest with you. Some of you have been in church a lot longer than I've even been alive. And I've only, you know, church people sometimes are just hard to deal with. Let's just be honest. People in general are hard to deal with. And sometimes you think you have this thing in the back of your mind like, I don't really like you, but I'm going to tolerate you. And I'm going to put up with you. Listen, can I say that's the wrong attitude to have towards your brother and sister in Christ? That's the wrong attitude to have. Do you love them? Do you tolerate them? Or do you just downright hate that person? You might say, how could I ever hate anyone, especially a brother or sister in Christ? What is hate? Well, it's intense hostility and aversion, usually deriving from fear, anger, or a sense of injury. It's extreme dislike or disgust. I wonder this morning, is there somebody in here, and I'm not asking you to raise your hand, but I'm wondering if the Lord has already put that person on your mind that maybe you have disliked, or maybe even in your mind disowned them, or you hate them. You know they're a brother and a sister in Christ, and eternity's coming, and you're going to have to spend eternity with them one day, but you just can't even stand to look at them. Maybe you've held yourself out of church because that person still goes to church. Or maybe you go behind everybody's back in the church, and maybe you backbite and you talk to other members about this member, and you're just trying everything you can to separate yourself from that individual who's hurt you so much or upset you or made you angry. Listen, the devil is behind all that hate. God is a God of love. Now, I understand I'm not talking about what the world looks at God today, okay? God does not accept sin. He hates sin. But can I tell you something? He loves the sinner. He loves the one that hurt you. And you know, a lot of times, here's the biggest thing. We get mad and upset over the smallest things. Have you guys ever thought about in your past, like, I would love to sit down one day and just have some cool story time and just, you know, with a group of men or even the church and just listen to some of the puny stories that we've been upset about. Some of us would be embarrassed to tell them why I was mad at that person for so long. Well, you don't understand. I taught that Sunday school class for 20 years. And I told the pastor I did not want to teach the class anymore. And then she thinks she's just going to come in and volunteer and teach the class? Who is she? Church, this is real. These are things that separate churches. You step down, but you don't want her to do it. That's my Sunday school class. I ran that nursery the way I liked it. You're retired. Well, I don't like her in there. I didn't want that kid in there. Hey, we're talking about little puny things. Do you know that those are harmful to the body of Christ? And we as a group of believers, especially unified members of New Hope Independent Baptist Church, should never feel towards our brother or sister like that. Ever. How can I know if I have hatred in my heart? Go to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter number 4. Such a simple lesson this morning, but it helps me, and I hope it helps you. I wonder how your communication is around other brethren. You say, what are you talking about? Well, what I'm talking about is, I'll just get downright honest with you. Before I got real serious about serving the Lord, I found myself often, Brother Randy, around the crowd that would gang up behind people's backs and talk about other members of the church. And it wasn't necessarily that I talked so much, because I always had that label on me, well, you're in the pastor's family, you don't do that. But I loved to hear the gossip. Hello? You know, what I should have done is had character within me, and I should have said, wait. If you two men have enough, you know, unction to stand back here and talk about that man over there who can't even hear you, let me go get him, bring him to you. Did you know most of you would never open your mouth? Hello? Because he can hear you. Well, let me tell you something. Do you know that you doing that behind his back, especially to another brother in the church, You're not only offending this gentleman, but you're causing that brother to fall that you're talking to. Hello? That's called hate speech. But I found myself loving to listen to the gossip. Can I tell you something? The day that I quit getting on social media was one of the best days of my life. I'm not preaching against it. Listen, I understand. My family has it. I personally just don't care about all the other stuff that's going on. It doesn't matter to me. I have a job to be a husband, to be a dad, to be a pastor, to be a coach. You know, I got enough to worry about versus all the gossip that's going on around me and what people think about what I'm doing. You know, there were things said about me on there, and you know, and I'm sure there's probably still stuff. And guess what? Don't care. Can't see it. Don't tell me if you do. You go take it up with the person. Don't come to me and say, hey, Brother Jude, you shoot. I don't care. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. What I'm saying is gossip used to, I used to love it. I used to love being around it. I just wanted the scoop, the inside scoop, you know. There's always those church members. You're going to find them. And some of you might know them. And, you know, God bless your soul if you're that person that's going to have more scoop than others, you know. But listen, it should never be a time where your communication becomes so bad that all you're doing is down-talking other church members. So how do I know if I have hatred in my heart? Can I tell you this? If you love that church member, you wouldn't do that. And if you love the church member you're talking to, you wouldn't allow him to be a part of it either. You know what you're doing? You're sowing discord among the brethren. And God forbids that. Ephesians 4:29 says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. So, this morning, I'm gonna just take some examples here. I want you to raise your hand. Tell me what you think. What is corrupt communication? Somebody, give me some answers. There's lots and lots of them. What is corrupt communication? Anybody? Lying. Good. Gossip. What else? I mean, that those two words cover just about everything. Lying and gossip. So, if I don't like somebody in the church, you say, why do you keep talking about this, church? Because, listen, I believe God works in unity. God doesn't like division. He likes unity. And if we would all understand that God likes unity and we would stop trying to backbite each other and just learn to love each other, listen, you would be surprised what God could do in Red Level, Alabama. They'd be talking about it across the globe. Well, look what God did in that church. Oh, that's because that church is unified around His Word and His Word alone, and they love each other. They love their sisters. They love their brothers. They love their preacher. They love their kids. They're unified around God's Word. But if I'm going to somebody and I'm saying, you know, I really don't like that person, but here's the worst one, but I really don't have that much against them. They just rub me the wrong way. You ever heard of anybody like that? And here's what we do. We make up something. Did you hear that brother so-and-so did this? And, you know, you might say it to the wrong person. I don't want nothing to do with that. But over two rows down, they heard you, and, you know, 5 minutes later, they walk up to you and say, hey, what were you saying about brother so-and-so? Oh, you didn't hear that? No, tell me. Does this seem so real or what? And then you start talking about it, and they're like, he did that? Oh, yeah, well, you should have heard what he did 5 years ago. Hey, church, this is real. That's lying. The Bible says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. So let me ask you this. As soon as you start doing that, you know what you just became? A sinner. You're actively sinning with other members of the church, gossiping. The Bible says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. The word corrupt, it denotes rotten communication, which tears others down. So let me ask you this. How many of you just this week, don't raise your hands, have said something that if that person would have heard you say it, it would have tore them down? I wonder how many of you have thought something about someone, and if they would have known the way you thought about them and felt about them, they'd be tore up from the floor up. Hey, listen. The Bible says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. You know, people say, oh, it's just words that don't hurt. That's a lie. Words do hurt. And let me tell you something. Saying I'm sorry is not always going to fix it. It's just not. I mean, it helps. But you're sorry. We know you're sorry because you said it. Right? But look, that ain't always going to fix it. You need to watch what you say. If you wouldn't want someone to say that to you or about you, don't say it to them or about them. How about that? The next time you decide to go gossip about a man in the church, you know, men, think about this. What if you knew that two rows over, two men were gossiping and saying the same thing about you? How would you feel about that? You wouldn't like it, so don't do it. Ladies, likewise, it's very important. Our job is not to bring people down. Our job is to edify and build them up. Rotten communication, which tears others down. It insults, name-calling, sarcasm, making fun of, cursing, slander, flattery lips, gossip. This is all hate speech, and it's all against God. I'm asking you this morning, do you love your brothers or do you not love your brothers? Our speech as children of a holy God should always be edifying speech that builds and lifts others up. Read on down in verse 29 there. The Bible says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is what, church? Good. To the use of edifying. That word edify is just to build up, to encourage, to strengthen. So let me ask you this. If you were to weigh your speech this week, and you were to put edifying and corrupt, which bar's higher this week? Is that edifying speech outweighing your corrupt speech? Or is the corrupt speech outweighing the edification? Church, we're Christians, right? We're all born again, blood bought, heaven bound with a hammer down, and we ain't got time to what? Mess around, right? Look, messing around is hate speech. Messing around is taking time to gossip. The time you're spending in gossip, you could be using to edify somebody and to uplift somebody. I dare you to go to that brother that you don't like and find something positive to say about him. And just see how he reacts. Or just see how she reacts. You'll be amazed. It will blow your mind. I'll give you an example. One time, we had this bus driver in our church in Seward, and man drove bus for years. And he was our church bus driver. He drove our church bus. Well, one Sunday morning, and I'll just be quite honest with you, the guy really did not like me personally, and he didn't really like my kids. But we got alone in the bus ministry. We worked together. Well, one Sunday morning, and this is a true story, by the way, and don't feel bad for my kids. Don't get mad and say, that rock, no, he's passed away now, so don't have bad thoughts towards him, okay? Listen, one Sunday morning we got there. It was snowing outside, kind of snowing, raining, about 30 degrees. It was just nasty out. And we always stopped at the store before we started our route, and we got coffee and stuff. And, well, my kids, I told them, I said, go get on the bus. It's raining. It's cold. Well, they went over there, and they looked up, and they knocked on the door, and he just looked at them. And remember, it's raining. It's cold. It's snowing, okay? And he just looked at them and didn't let them in. Didn't let them in the bus. I come out. I said, is there a problem? He said, those aren't my problem. Those are your problem. I don't know why you sent them over to my bus. I said, okay. So the dad part of me, I mean, I'm boiling at this point. You know, I'm mad. I'll just be honest with you. You mess with my kids, you made me angry. But I went to my preacher, which, by the way, is the kid's grandpa, and I'm like, surely he's going to back me up. You know what he said? He said, here's what you need to do. You need to take your kids home this week, bake that man some cookies, and have them kids deliver that man some cookies next Sunday morning. I said, you got to be kidding me. You want me to tell your daughter that after she knows that story? Ain't no telling what's going to be in them cookies. But we'll make the cookies. But look, you know what he was teaching me? He was teaching me to do good to those who despitefully use you. To love them. Because you're never going to win them. Well, you know, I'll just be quite honest. What I wanted to do was knock his lights out. That's what the dad part of me wanted to tear his head off. You say, preacher, no. Hey, any dads in here? Hey, mess with my kids, you're messing with me. Just saying. Mess with my wife, you're messing with me. Don't do that. Okay? But I didn't do that, thank God. If I would have reacted like that, my kids would have saw that. There were a few more kids on the bus at that point that would have saw that. I didn't even raise my voice. I sat two rows back. I said, sir, if you don't mind, take me to the church. Me and my kids are going to get off this morning. We're going to go inside. We're going to calm down. And guess what? The next Sunday, brought them cookies. he looked down at my kids, and they said, "Mr. Todd, we brought you some cookies." And a little tear came streaming down his face. He said, "I guess there is some good in you." Hey, that man passed away back in 2020 of COVID. And you know what? We began to have a better relationship after that. I spent a little bit more time with him. He just was a single old man, never been married, never really liked kids. But you know something? I can't help to think, but if I would have reacted wrong, that man would have died and went to his grave, and I never would have got a chance to make that right. Folks, these grudges you're holding against your church members, against your family members, against your friends, you know, what if the next phone call you get is that one you dread? You just never know. It's always right to do right. Right? Always. Always. There's never a good time to do wrong. So edifying speech that builds and lifts up others. It's encouragement. It's kindness. Your words should compliment people. This will begin to bring out your true Christ-like attributes. Your speech should minister grace to the hearers, anyone who partakes or overhears your conversation. Look what the Bible says in verse 29 at the end of it. That it may minister grace unto the hearers. You know what that means? What is grace? That's God's unmerited favor, right? That's the thing that we have, you know, God's riches at Christ's expense. That's what a guy in our church wrote a song about grace. God's riches at Christ's expense. I can go to heaven. He paid my debt. No one can earn heaven. Only Christ at Calvary. By the blood of Jesus, I am free. Grace. Look, did you know your conversation should minister that to the hearers? It didn't say just to the people you're talking to. Because listen, there's a lot of people hearing me, but few are listening. You understand what I'm saying? I'm not talking about right now. I'm talking about in general. People hear you talking all the time. I was sitting in a restaurant the other day with my wife and a couple of my kids. And man, I heard. You ever been in a restaurant with that guy? The whole restaurant's got to hear his conversation the entire time you're in there. And he was talking about politics. And at first I was like, oh no. You know, it stirs me up when I start hearing people talk about certain things. But he was talking about abortion. And finally I was like, man, this guy is pro-abortion. And then I started listening a little bit longer, and it turned out he was not pro-abortion. He was very anti-abortion. He was trying to convince his aunt, he was arguing with his aunt, who was pro-abortion in there, about why abortion's wrong. And he started talking about, I heard him talk about God, and I'm like, man, this guy's good. You know what he was doing, though? Through his conversation, what if I had been a lost man? You hear what I'm saying here? He was backing up life. Do you hear what I'm saying? His conversation, even though people weren't supposed to be listening, but they were hearing it, his conversation was ministering that God is the giver and taker of life, and that we have no right to murder babies. Hey, that's ministry. That's pretty good grace, isn't it? I don't know about you, but how's your conversation? Is it ministering grace to those that are hearing you? Ephesians 4, 31 and 32. We just sang this morning. Bible says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Did you know hatred towards your brethren will result in bitterness? And can I tell you a secret? Bitterness is a poison, and it will kill you. It will kill you. Anger, another poison that will kill you. You ever been around an angry person? And I'm not talking about mad because your kids didn't clean the room. I'm talking about mad at something for years and years and years and years on end. And you've become bitter and just mad and wrathful. And anytime you hear that person's name, something triggers inside of you. And you just, you know what I'm saying? Your blood pressure goes up. You can make yourself sick over that thing. How about just forgiving them? Because, you know, you're not doing yourself any good. Here's what the devil tells us. Well, if you forgive them, you're letting them off the leash. Church, let me tell you something. That's the biggest lie that you'll ever be told. Let me tell you the truth to that story. If you forgive them, you know what you're doing? Here's how you are in bitterness. Now watch. I can walk this way and I'm trying to do something for the Lord and all of a sudden I can't go any further. Why? Because I have a leash of bitterness in my heart. Well, maybe I'll help this person and they're just over there, but I just can't quite get to them. Why? Because I don't know how to forgive. Church, when you forgive, you know what you do? You cut your own leash. And now all of a sudden, you look back and you're like, wow. You can breathe better. You feel better. You no longer look at that person and hold them accountable for what? Sin? What if Jesus held you accountable for your sin? Hello? You know what he did? He cut that leash and he chose to forgive all of us. We can't forgive single individuals. But God looked down one day in that while we were yet sinners, he said, I hate sin so much. And because of sin, I got to send my only begotten son, Jesus, to die. Because without him, without the sacrifice of a holy God, a sinless God, a pure God, a perfect God, without the sacrifice of Jesus, none of their sins can ever be forgiven. None of them. So he chose to give Jesus. And when Jesus did that, he cut that leash and he forgave an entire universe. Most of them weren't even born yet. Isn't that a pretty awesome thing to think about what God did? He sent his son to die for us when we weren't even thoughts yet. Oh, but we were a thought in his mind. Did you know that? Every single one of your sins were future sins when Jesus died. You know, that proves the concept, you know, a lot of people believe, well, you sin, you lose your salvation. Well, that's not true. You know, if every time I sin, I got to ask forgiveness and or I'm going to go to hell. Guys, that's not Bible. Find that in the Bible and show it to me. You won't. You can't. You've been taught that. Somebody's taught you that. But that's not true. That's like eternal security. Listen, you did nothing to gain it other than believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and that God has raised him from the dead, and you confessed with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and you know, listen, that's what you did. By faith, all you did was believe. You did nothing to gain salvation. So let me tell you something. You can do nothing to lose it. You know, John 10:28, no man shall pluck them out of my hand. You, last time I remember, we're men and women, right? We can't pray our way out of heaven. Church, that's pretty exciting what God's done for us. We ought to learn to forgive. I got sidetracked there for a minute. But we have been commanded to put these away and to forgive. When you really forgive someone, guess what? You don't bring it back up. You ever think about that? Oh, I forgive you. But every time I see your face, I think about what you've done to me. You haven't forgiven them. You haven't forgiven them. You ever find it easy to forgive ones? You know, like, this might not be a great analogy, but how many have kids? Raise your hand. Most of us do. Good. Now, when your kids make you upset, you know, how many have been angry at your kids before? Get mad at them. But do you look at them the next day and just say, I just can't stand the thought of you. I can't stand to look at your face because of what you did yesterday. Any of you like that? Hey, why is it so easy to forgive them? Because you love them. You know, God commands us to love each other like that. Did you know that? The Bible says the love of Christ constraineth us. In other words, the love that Jesus Christ had for his church ought to control every inch of your body. Every inch of it. You should have no choice but to look at your brother and sister and say, man, it sure is good to see you today. I love you. And I'm glad you're a part of this body. I got to live with you in eternity. I might as well learn to live with you down here. Right? Look, When you forgive, you won't bring it back up. When you forgive, you don't hold them accountable. And here's a good one. When you forgive, you don't remind them every time they slip up. Hello? You know, what if someone was behind you every time you slipped up and no one saw it? But what if someone did see it? Said, hey, you're just like you were 10 years ago. You ain't no different. I remember you. I know who you really are. Man, ain't you glad we don't serve a God like that? I'm glad when God looks down, he doesn't see Drew. You know what he sees? Jesus. Say, what are you talking about? Well, I'm covered by the blood. I'm covered by the blood. That's why I have an intercessor. Jesus. I'm glad when he looks down, he sees Jesus and not Drew. You know what Jesus is? Perfect. Pure. Holy. Sinless. When he sees me, he sees the blood of the Lamb. He sees me as worthy and not as I am. He views me in garments as white as the snow. For the Lamb of God is worthy, and he washed me, this I know. Hey, church, aren't you glad that we have a God like that? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you this morning for your word and for your truth. Thank you for dying on the cross. Thank you for meeting with us this morning. Bless us in our next hour. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. You are dismissed.